Good morning. Our scripture reading today is found on page 1087, and you'll find a Bible next to your chair if you'd like to follow along. And please stand for the reading of the word. This is about Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And now he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. These are the very words of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Bob, would you run that video?
People called me Saul once, a Hebrew of Hebrews, faultless in the eyes of the law. But I watched the rebellion growing, and like a fire, it spread. Claims of a Messiah and the resurrection, the Son of God, they declared, and for that, I hunted them. My will was bent on destruction. But on the road to ruin, my world was torn apart. A voice called my name and the scales fell from my eyes. The fire that I sought to extinguish was now consuming and refining me. People called me Saul once, but that was another life, for I am a new creation. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And neither death nor life, not even the powers of hell, will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
We're starting a new series on what I consider the most important things in Christianity, and there's nothing more important than this. My first sermon here in January was entitled that, The Most Important Thing. And that was normally the sermon I would preach to begin this series. So you have to go back and listen to my first sermon. But then the Lord said, no, let's talk about Paul. Let's talk about Paul's conversion. Paul was a very interesting guy. He came from Cilicia, which was southeastern Turkey, right above Cyprus. And the... The town that he was from was Tarsus, which was a Roman province, and that was the capital. And he came from a well-to-do family, a Jewish family. They had a trade. They were tent makers, which was a very lucrative enterprise. And they sent their young son, Saul was his Jewish name, and Paul was his Roman name, because everybody from Tarsus were Roman citizens. They were born Roman citizens, which was a huge thing in the ancient world. It's kind of like being an American is in the world today, a huge thing. It gives you great privilege as you travel the world to be an American. Anybody ever experienced that? Well, that's the way it was in the ancient world. And so he was a Roman. He went down to Jerusalem. His folks sent him there. He was educated under the great Gamaliel. He got the best education that they could give him. And he decided that he would become a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees were kind of the ultra-religious in the Jewish faith. They were the zealots. There was a caste system in Israel in Jesus' day, and the Pharisees saw themselves at the top of that caste system, and everybody else was underneath them. And they kept very rigid laws about washing and eating and all kinds of stuff like that, even fasting. And they believed that these things made them acceptable to God. And we learned when Jesus came that actually many of those things kept them far away from God. And he became so zealous that when the great persecution started against the early Christians in Jerusalem, he was right there in the middle of it. When they stoned Stephen in Acts 7, Paul was there. And he got it in his brain that he would go out and begin to persecute Christians. He kind of became the Osama bin Laden of Christian persecution. Now think about it. The Osama bin Laden of Christian persecution. He would hunt Christians down. He would try to make them blasphemy against the Lord Jesus Christ. He would torture them. He would put them to death. Imprison them and have them put to death. And he even got letters to go away to faraway places like Damascus, which is in Syria today, same city. And he was on the road to Damascus. I had the privilege years ago when I took a chapel group from Spain, when I had the Navy chapel in Rota, Spain, I took a chapel group to Israel, and we were on the road to Damascus. Anybody ever been on the road to Damascus? It's beautiful out there, just kind of out. Kind of reminded me of Eastern Washington a little bit, out there in the agricultural lands. And Paul was out there, and it was about noon, and he had an entourage with him, and he was looking forward to going and hunting down Christians in this foreign city and arrest them and torture them and bring them back to Jerusalem and have them put to death. That was the mission he was on. And at noon, there was a great light. Now, the sun was overhead, and there was a great light, blinding light, greater than the sun itself. And it knocked everybody with Paul, including him, to the ground. And there was a voice. Saul, he used his Jewish name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And in Acts 26, which is the other version of Acts 9, where he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa, and he recounts this story again. This is Luke's. We think Luke wrote Acts. This is Luke's version in Acts 9 that he probably got from Paul, because he used to travel with Paul. He was a doctor, by the way, a Greek doctor who Paul had travel with him. And I lost my train of thought. Where was I? I got off on doctors, okay? Where was I? Okay. Yeah, Jesus said to him, doesn't it hurt to kick against the goads? Thank you. Doesn't it hurt to kick against the goads? You know, goads are sharp sticks that you jab cattle with. and, you know, you're persecuting me. You know, when you persecute Christians, you're persecuting Jesus. Because Jesus is in us. When you mistreat a Christian, you're mistreating Jesus. When you are kind to a Christian, you're being kind to Jesus. And Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" I mean, he's on the ground. There's this great light. There's this voice. Nobody can see anything. "Who are you, Lord? What is this great power?" "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." What a mind-blowing moment for Paul. This Jesus that he thought was a bunch of crap suddenly is the Lord God Almighty. And he says, "Paul, get up and go into the city. You'll be told what to do." That was an order. And in the Acts 26 version, he says, "For I've chosen you to be a witness for me to the Gentiles, to the kings, to their kings, to the Jewish people, to take them out, to bring them forgiveness of sins, to take them out of darkness into light, to take them from the power of Satan to the power of God." And so they led him blind to Damascus. And they put him at a house of Judas, a Jew that lived in the town, probably also a Pharisee, probably also a persecutor of Christians, who Paul was hoping to link up with and find the Christians and arrest them. And he sat there and just prayed for 3 days without food or water. This guy was so shook up he couldn't eat, he couldn't drink. You know, you can only last 3 days without water. You can last about 40 without food, but you can only last 3 without water. And he was at the end of that praying. And somewhere he saw in a vision as he was praying that a man come in and lay hands on him. And so across town, the resurrected Christ. Now this is years after Jesus' resurrection. Years. This whole scene. The resurrected Christ appears to a disciple of the Lord named Ananias. I look forward to meeting Ananias someday. And the Lord said to him, there's this guy over on Straight Street. By the way, Straight Street is still there in Damascus if you go there. And there's this guy over there. He's at the house of Judas, and his name is Saul. What'd you say his name was, Lord? You mean Osama bin Laden? I know all about this guy, Lord. I mean, he hurt your people. He's on his way here to carry us away. And you want me to do what? I want you to go lay hands on him because he's had a vision of you coming in and laying hands on him and healing him. Now go, because he's a chosen instrument of mine, another order from the Lord. And I'll show him how much he must suffer for me. And so Ananias, God bless him, he went. And I'm sure he was scared out of his mind. And he shows up at Judas's house and knocks on the door, and they lead him up to Osama bin Laden. And there he is, blind, and hasn't eaten or drank in 3 days. And Ananias says, "Brother Saul," calls him brother. What a great guy Ananias must have been. "Brother Osama bin Laden." Can you imagine if God called you to go lay hands on Osama bin Laden? The Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road. Apparently the Lord must have told Ananias about the whole thing. "He sent me to lay my hands on you, to pray for healing, and that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit." That's next week's sermon. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't miss it. That's the next most important thing. And so Ananias went over there, laid hands on him. Scales fell off his eyes. He could see, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got baptized in water. That's sermon number 4, Trish, I think, something 4. And he immediately, and Stephanie, are you still here? Make sure you read down to verse 20 in the second service, because he immediately went out and began to proclaim that Jesus was the Christ. And he must have just blown the minds of the people in the synagogue. Here comes Osama bin Laden telling about Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? So what happened to Paul? How did he go from being Osama bin Laden to being one of the greatest evangelists in history, who wrote most of this book in the New Testament and started almost all the churches in Europe? What happened? He met the risen Christ. He met the risen Christ. And he believed in him. Who are you, Lord? And he gave his life to him. And he accepted his assignment to suffer for Jesus, which he did greatly. In fact, he died in Rome, we believe, sawn in two, after he witnessed to the emperor himself. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he began to go out and to tell the world that Jesus was the Christ. Now, folks, that is the most important thing in this life. There's nothing more important than meeting the risen Christ, giving him your life, having your sins forgiven, getting eternal life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then begin to tell others about Jesus. That is the most important thing in life. Everything else pales in significance to that, including spouses and kids and grandkids and careers and travel and education and materialism. All of that stuff is second to meeting the risen Christ and giving him your life and being forgiven and filled with his Spirit and receiving eternal life as a gift. That's the most important thing. I wonder this morning if there's anybody in this room who needs to meet the risen Christ this morning. That he has appeared to you maybe through this message or through the music or through the sharing, and you need to believe in him. You need to give him your heart and your life. And if that's you this morning, I want you to put your hand up and say, "That's me." And I'm going to start right over here. Is there anybody like that this morning who needs to ask Jesus to believe in Jesus? Anybody like that? Anybody at all? How about over here? How about over here? Nobody's going to lift up their hand. I believe there's somebody here who needs to meet the risen Christ this morning. Okay. All right. Well, maybe there's somebody here who still is not sure he is the Christ. And what I want you to do is I want you to ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to reveal himself to you. And maybe that is you this morning, but you didn't want to lift your hand up. That's okay. You don't have to lift your hand up to go to heaven. But you do have to trust the risen Christ. You have to trust him. I felt impressed to do that this morning, and I don't know why, because I don't do it very often. But give him your life. Invite him to come in. Ask him to forgive your sins, and he will, all of them. If he can forgive a man that killed and tortured Christians, he can forgive you for anything. Believe me, anything. There's none of us in this room who has killed and tortured Christians. None of us that I'm aware of. If he can forgive that and use that man to spread the gospel over the entire Roman world and write a book that's still with us 2,000 years later, that we live by, that we're guided by, then he can use your life, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he can redeem your life and use you too. Band, come and close us, please.